This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
There's nowhere to go.
Nothing else. But baby, the best sports pop music in town. Wow.
Remember, keep this on a little bit here. Are you guys old enough to remember phones with the cords?
Oh, sure.
You do, yeah. I remember my brother, we got a phone back in our room. It was the biggest thing, my brother Doug. And then he played this song. He goes, remember, Frank, and then whenever you call me, I'll be there. He picked up the phone. All right. Welcome back. Somebody asking if Dion Wiley of the Billikens is related to Tom Wiley from the Charlie Tuna Show. Brian, I have not met Tom. Have you met Tom before?
I do believe I have, yes.
Yes. Brian says that their body type and their skin color is a little bit different.
Yeah, they're not related. Both great personalities, but yes, two totally different Wileys.
Yes. Let's see. Nothing really good on the text lines. If you'd like to be a part of the program, we'd love to have you text in. Be provocative. Be interesting. Let's see. That number is 855-282-8255. Maryville sponsors the phone lines. Continuing to build a more diverse and inclusive campus is a core value of the institution, one of four pillars in Maryville's strategic plan. Go to maryville.edu for more information. Soccer is in the news. Joining us now is Mr. Soccer, Bill McDermott. The purpose of this interview is twofold. One, to talk Ray Donovan, and two, to talk soccer. Bill has been telling me every Sunday, back-to-back Showtime, it's the greatest, Billions and Ray Donovan. I had not watched Ray Donovan up to a couple of months ago. I finally took Bill's advice, and now I'm completely addicted. It is the greatest, isn't it?
You're hooked, aren't you, Frank?
Oh, my goodness.
You're positively hooked. And here's another one. You just mentioned it briefly. Billions, that begins its new season on Sunday, St. Patrick's Day, as a matter of fact. That's when it begins its new season. And then, furthermore, if you want to really get hooked on a series, Homeland will begin its very last season this year, on June 19th, I believe. That's off the top of my head. But that has been a magnificent show, due in large part to the fact that Damian Lewis, who is the star of Billions, he was the star of Homeland when it first came on the air for its first three seasons. That's a great show as well.
I have not seen that. Now, in terms of just scum of the earth, worst human beings in terms of a character on television, could anybody be lower than Mickey Donovan, played by John Voight?
No, and John Voight does it superbly. And this family, you talk about the definition of dysfunctionality.
Yeah.
It is the Donovan family. Everybody says, well, there's more dysfunction going on in the Shameless family, led by William H. Macy. I think they're pedestrian compared to the Donovans.
And the thing about it, too, is John Voight is 80 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just think about this, Bill, that what you have to memorize. I mean, you and I do television and radio. We have to ad lib and sometimes memorize scripts. But you're talking about talking like for a minute. And this guy.
And,
yeah, go ahead.
And Frank, you'll note it. Well, you haven't seen it yet. But in this last episode, two Sundays ago, he memorized a James Joyce poem. And he's saying it during a stage of the show, which is really touching, as a matter of fact. If something can be touching in a Ray Donovan episode, but you touched upon the fact that you're watching the series. I think, what are you, in
season
year five now?
Yes.
Which heavily revolves around his relationship with his wife. No, it's must-see television due to one person and one person only, and that's Liev Schreiber. He carries the show. Now, the rest of the cast is magnificent, but Liev Schreiber carries the show.
Now, when you were watching season five and the love and those great moments that Ray has with his wife, Abby, did that also cause you to kind of like your wife a little bit more, or say something really nice, or wonder what life would be like without her?
Well, I always introduce my wife the way Jack Buck used to introduce his wife. Here's my mother-in-law's favorite daughter.
Well played.
All right. Much to discuss. So the news yesterday is that Mr. Burkle, a guy worth $2 billion who owns the Penguins, is now the lead investor for the Sacramento project. And I think the scary thing is that they are actually breaking ground on a new MLS stadium, and they haven't even gotten word from the commissioner that they're going to get the 28th team. How do you see things?
Well, you know what? It is shovel ready, if you will, Frank. And back in April 2015, here's pretty much a direct quote from Don Garber. He said, it's less about if, but more about when, referring to Sacramento. After that statement, they fell on some real rocky ground, Sacramento did. They've been tremendously successful with their USL team. As a matter of fact, the former coach here for St. Louis FC, Preki, he coached them in their inaugural year, which was 2014, when they won the USL championship in their first year. But right now, as you just mentioned, Ron Burkle, grocery store manager with the Yuka IPA Companies, it's a private equity firm in California. Indeed, their venue is shovel ready. They got a great USL team, but they are they're level right now. They're level with the other contenders. I don't see, just because him jumping on board, he has some sports pedigree. He's one of the part owners of the Pittsburgh Penguins. But with reference to the top three main mandatory ingredients: number one, solid ownership group; number two, stadium plan, the city in which you're going to play is where the venue is going to be; and number three, an existing soccer culture. None of these other potential candidates check those boxes so quickly and so readily as St. Louis does. However, if you're ready for competition, St. Louis is ready to join the fray. St. Louis does indeed want this MLS team, this 2018, team number 28. The league wants St. Louis, and St. Louis is well prepared for the onslaught of the other competitors.
I agree with you on those three things, and they seem to be the most important. But if Sacramento does have money and they already are breaking ground or about to start the shovels, I mean, they're ahead of us, right? I mean, if this is a race, wouldn't they be considered ahead of us? Because we don't even have our plans done.
Well, the plans are well in the offing. But I think, Frank, the thing that should, if indeed the league is being valid with saying you have to have an existing soccer culture, the soccer culture with reference to Sacramento, by the way, it would be the fourth team in California, along with the Galaxy, LAFC, and San Jose. Sacramento, other than the USL team that I talked about that started in 2014, they've had the Sacramento Knights, the Sacramento Surge, two indoor teams. So outdoor-wise, they don't have near the soccer culture that St. Louis does. This is the birthplace of the sport in our country, the birthplace of the popularity. This once was the soccer capital of the United States. Where that is now, I do not know, because everybody plays and everybody has a claim to being one of the entrants, the overall logical entrants for the soccer craze in our country. But the birthplace of the popularity of the sport and the degree of cachet it enjoys today in our country is directly responsible for what St. Louis started back in 1875.
Okay. Let me throw this at you. I think there's a real possibility that Sacramento could get Team 28. But then Commissioner Garber said something recently that I think all St. Louis fans have got to hear, because we were under the impression it was 28 teams and they were done. Here's a direct quote from Commissioner Garber to ESPN's Jeff Carlisle. "We will grant the 28th team and make that decision sometime in the next 12 months. And then we're going to have to decide whether we want to go forward beyond 28 teams. That is a discussion that is taking place. We will begin to introduce the subject at our board meetings starting soon."
So, and you know what? It's a good point, very valid point that you're bringing that up, because in the past, the commissioner and the overall expansion committee from MLS had been steadfast, absolutely steadfast, in saying, nope, we're just going to 28. Well, this quote was taken from his State of the League address on December 7th, the day prior to MLS Cup, December 8th. Down in Atlanta, which means that there could possibly be a 29, 30, 31, 32. The thing you have to be wary about there is, when you start to run out of quality players to accommodate 32 teams. And then with reference to home schedules, there's going to be some prominent teams that some people aren't able to see simply because you ran out of the number of games. But that's a story for way down the line. But if indeed that would transpire, where Team 28 is taken, and it may not be St. Louis, who knows who it's going to be, teams 29 and 30, they're a long way off in the potential arrangement of Major League Soccer. So it's imperative that St. Louis, Sacramento, Phoenix, whoever is vying, who are the most logical candidates vying for this Team 28, it's imperative that you you get to be that Team 28, because it could be a while into the offing before teams 29 and 30 come into the overall fray.
All right, so there's plenty of St. Louisans listening to this program very intently right now because of you being on and talking MLS. Now, I know people that have bought scarves and have bought, you know, MLS gear, but what can they do to support this project, or is there anything they can do as we speak in late January?
Positively, Frank, because believe me, the league is watching. And when the league begins play in early March, all three, the three most viable candidates, Sacramento, Phoenix, and of course, St. Louis, all have USL teams. They're all going to be playing at the same time. St. Louis's opening game, their home opener this year, is on Saturday, March 9th. It's at 1 o'clock. They play on Saturday, March 23rd, 1 o'clock. Saturday, March 30th, 1 o'clock. The games are on Saturday afternoon in March, because of the chance that there may be real cold weather in the evenings, maybe not as bad at 1 o'clock. So it is imperative, it's almost mandatory, for St. Louis to sell out these home games for their USL team. Because, Frank, Phoenix and Sacramento do that on a regular basis with their home games for USL. So it is now time for St. Louisans, and I'm glad you brought this up, because St. Louisans are always asking, what can we do? We have to be more active. We have to be proactive. You do. And this is your chance to do that. Likewise, when the United States women's national team comes to Busch Stadium on May 16th, they played there on April 4th, 2015, against New Zealand. This is the same team they're playing. There were 35,817 people there. This is going to be the United States women's national team. It's their second-to-last game before they play in France for the World Cup this year. There needs to be more than 35,000 at Busch Stadium. It could be the swan song for St. Louis soccer fans to see one of their native own players, Becky Sauerbrunn, perhaps play for their for her country, for the United States, the last time in person. This may be her last World Cup. So it's an excellent opportunity, not just to see a woman who's grown up playing St. Louis, who is a main part of their first 11, but it's an ideal scenario to make a statement to Major League Soccer that St. Louis is the birthplace of the sport in our country.
Okay, I know you can't predict this, but it's a question I hear often. First question is, when do you think we're actually going to see the plans for this state-of-the-art soccer facility? That's number one. And number two is, when do you think Commissioner Garber will make an announcement about the next team?
Well, first of all, it took me aback when he said in his State of the Union address, State of the League address, excuse me, that we may have a decision on Team 28 in the next year, whereas in prior discussions, some of which were in public, the league had said we'd probably be going to have a decision in the opening quarter of the year, meaning in the springtime, early spring, before April. No one really knows that, Frank, because the league, as they have done in the past with reference to expansion, they've always been very close to the vest. They give no information whatsoever, so consequently, you don't know that. But if you're going to begin, if Team 28 is going to begin in spring of 2022, there pretty much has to have a decision made in spring of this year so you can get on with building the stadium. It takes 2 years for all intents and purposes to build a soccer stadium. The Columbus Crew did it when they opened in May 15th, 1999. They built their stadium in 9 months. That was unheard of. One of the reasons was Lamar Hunt was a daily visitor at the construction site. That had a little bit to do with it. But nonetheless, I think a decision has to be coming up fairly soon, as opposed to within the next 12 months, in order to start playing in spring of 2022.
Good stuff. Bill, honored to have you on the program, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Frank. Talk to you soon.
All right, that's Mr. Soccer Bill McDermott joining us on the Hollywood Casino Press Box. You know, they said minimum of 2 years. Well, what they ought to do is they ought to get the group that's building that facility of the St. Louis Community Ice Center that's done it in 14 months, 275,000 square feet in 14 months. Get those incredible construction workers on the stadium. It'll be done in a year.
Now, Frank, you love soccer. I'm trying to get into it. You're excited about St. Louis getting a team, as am I. Are you worried about how quickly the expansion process has gone for the MLS? It's not one team every 5 years. Now you're maybe talking about adding three or four new teams in a calendar year. I'm not for sure. Is too much
too quickly a thing,
or are they just expanding that much?
Yeah, it's a great thought. In fact, you know, let's face it, there are a lot of people who really doubt the economics of the MLS and think it's a Ponzi scheme. So if I'm the MLS, though, and it is a Ponzi scheme, I want to just keep adding more teams.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I'm not for sure, though, and I love what he said was you don't want to water down the competition. You don't want to have teams with second- or third-rate players. So I think that's also an issue, finding, you know, roster spots, finding guys that should fill up roster spots in an MLS type team.
Yeah, I wonder, do they do this? I should know this, but do they do an expansion draft like they did in the NHL where Las Vegas got pretty good right away with decent players?
I don't know if that's identical. I'm sure they have a similar expansion draft process. Again, I'm not for sure either. I kind of just got into soccer. So I'm worried about, because the league is still relatively new and you're adding four, five, six teams in a 4 or 5 year stretch. Isn't that too much too quickly for a league?
Here's my question for both of you. I don't know for sure, but I think when these soccer stadium plans come out, it's going to be like 25,000. Here's it, and I don't know the answer to this at all. I worry about it a little bit. Are they going to be able to put 25,000 in there every night? We're talking 16 home games. Is that what it is? Is 32?
Yeah.
Total? My problem is when the season is. As far as
from like March to September,
you have a lot of other things to do. You have deep late runs with the Blues maybe like this year, but you're talking down the road.
What are you drinking? No.
You know what I'm saying? Like down the road and then the Cardinals are playing. So I think though at the first couple years, I imagine that place will be sold out, not only because it's new, but I think they do need to win consistently because you've seen the Blues, even the diehards, when you go on, you know, a losing streak or you don't make the playoffs, fans get a little annoyed. So I think there's a combination of things. But I think regardless, the first couple of years, they'll be sold out.
I mean, the average attendance in the MLS is 21,000. So if you're hovering around there, I think you're fine.
All right, good.
And that's
hear.
And that's with – it's elevated because some markets like Atlanta are drawing 60, 70,000. So the true average might be even a little lower for other markets.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think it's worth – I'm sure they can get 20, 25 a game. I'm not too concerned about that.
I just worry about directly competing with the car. I don't know if there's a competition there. But obviously for ticket sales, you know, a lot of people are going to choose the Cardinals over MLS. Now, they're not going to play on the same day all the time. But I'm just saying, you know, with ticket prices and things like that, if you do have to have a choice between going to a Blues or Cardinals game or going to an MLS game, I think that's where you'll have an issue. But I still think you're going to get, like Brian said, at least 20, 21,000. At least league average will get you really set up for a nice, successful season. So,
all right, let's take a short time out. Still to come, we're going to talk about Stank Kroenke a little bit later. We're going to talk about Earl Austin Jr. going into the Hall of Fame. Martin will join us at 11. Some text when we come back. If you have some thoughts about SLU and Mizzou and Illinois and their loss night, the Blues and their incredible night, the Cardinals with the possibility of losing their three best offensive players a year from now, Maryville University listener line, 855-282-8255. Winning streak text line, same number, 855-282-8255. We'll take a break. We're coming right back.